Okay, I am excited about everything that the Lord has put on my heart to share. Dave is hunting. Terry is hunting. There's all kinds of people that are doing all kinds of things this week. And I'm just excited to share what the Lord has put on my heart. I need these. I'm a very visual person. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would drop into my spirit once again the things that you wanted me to share. Lord, we all love you. We thank you for your spirit that's alive in us. We thank you for your word that's alive in us. And Lord, I pray that you would drop it into the ears that are hearing what I'm about ready to share. We thank you that heaven rejoices for every single time we surrender to one of us, surrender to you on a daily basis. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to take this off because I've done my notes in font 20. Is that amazing or what? Age. Okay, my title today is Throwing the Penalty Flag and then Draw Near to God. That we have the ability to understand the authority that God's put in us. In Genesis 1:26, God told mankind to rule. To rule over the creation, to rule. And we've negated that. We have not ruled to the extent that God wants us to truly rule. We look to people to rule. People in White House. We go, why isn't our world changing? Well, it's because we're not doing what God's called us, and we're not taking the authority that God's called us to do. And it comes in little things. Your neighbor, you know, your workplace, that we are to, we just got new neighbors. You're going to meet them. Their names are Shane and Eva. So when you have a new neighbor, do you welcome them? Do you share the gospel with them? And if you don't like sharing the gospel, share your life of what Jesus did for you. Because what Jesus did for you, that's a great thing. We don't have to be frightened to think about what Jesus did for us. So it's God's children who's supposed to rule this country, this world. And if we're not doing that, we can't look to the government because our world's getting darker. It's the light that's very, very dim. And I pray prophetically, as I seen that map, prophetically, I pray that God's light and his children would start rising up more and more and more. Because that was a pretty dim picture. That really was a picture. Was that the United States or the world? See, and as we light up, as we recognize the authority that God's put in our life, as we recognize who we are, as we recognize who God is, truly, then we can say, under this authority, I'm praying this way. Under God's authority, I'm doing this. So as we are born again, because this message is both for those that are born again and for those who are not. For those that are born again, once we're born again, the Spirit of God comes and resides in us. But he wants to fill us. He wants to have fellowship with us. If we don't understand that, then we've got fire insurance. It says, Lord and Savior. So the Lord is supposed to be our Lord, just not our Savior. So if he's just our Savior, then he's not our Lord. And he is supposed to be both Lord and Savior. What does Lord mean? It means we don't get to do what we want to do. It means that we go to our Lord, and because he saved us, we're saved. But if he's not your Lord, then you're just in rebellion, doing whatever you want to do. Or perhaps nobody's ever told you he's supposed to be Lord, not just in name, but in position. He positionally is to be our Lord. Delegated authority. God always works with delegated authority. We have authority over darkness. We really do. I grieve when I watch somebody go through something and I'm in prayer taking authority, but they leave and they still are under the same weight, the same thing, because they don't understand the authority that they have. And we need to understand the authority that God's given us. Each one of us, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. The enemy is frightened of you. He's frightened of a church that understands what we have. But if we just sit on it, we're no threat at all. So I wanted to cover what's real. Really, because I tend to see things in the spiritual, that's more real than what you think. What's happening in the heavenlies, what we don't see, spiritual warfare, the things that most likely hovered around this man who shot the 9 people and killed himself. You know, the whole demonic thing that was following him probably for years that nobody recognized. Nobody recognized that this guy needed help. Did anyone ever come to him and say, I once walked in darkness. I met Jesus. So we have a responsibility to minister to those people that we see are weighed down. Do you see them out there? Do you see the people that are hurt, lonely? Nobody's out there to minister to them, to talk with them, because basically people are looking for significance, because he was looking for significance, and he was looking to being loved. Those are two basic needs that people are looking for, to be loved and for significance. So after the Spirit of God rests on us, comes and lives in us, we're to walk in freedom. We're not to walk under the plans of the enemy. We have been given authority to rule over darkness. Let's look at Matthew 28:18. This is where God is showing, is where Jesus is showing us where he got authority. Because in that day, authority was very, very important. This today, is authority important? No. People don't even want to have anything to do with authority. We're all free agents. Okay, Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, how much authority? In heaven and on earth has been given to me. So God gave Jesus all authority. All authority. Now let's look at Luke 10:19. This is where Jesus takes his delegated authority and gives it to us. But I'm afraid that most of us don't know we have authority. Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, which in the word of God, throughout the word, snakes and scorpions represent darkness and sin. So we've been given authority over darkness and sin. To overcome how much power? All the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Everything harms us. Everything's in our way. We're getting trampled on if we're not taking the authority and using it that God's given it. He's given us authority to say, no more. No more. We have the spoken word to be able to speak and say, Satan, you will no longer flow down to my family in alcoholism. You will no longer flow down in my family with addiction. Now, we have free will. So those people we're praying for, God will never go against free will. But we can still cover them in prayer and say, I take authority over this situation. So I want you to say, overcome the enemy with all power. I want you to be able to know that really you can. Not just somebody else who stands up here, but you have power and authority over the enemy to be able to say, leave me in Jesus' name. When I being raised in San Francisco, so I'm now right at the halfway point. I spent 30 years without Jesus. I did not believe in Jesus at all. I believed that Christians were deceived. And then when I got saved, the Lord showed me I was the one that was deceived. So I've been a Christian now 30 years. But before I was saved, let's see, President Reagan declared 1984 the year of the Bible, and they had a 1-800 number, and you got to order this book. I ordered this book, and it's called Power for Living, and it changed my life. It was through this book that I went, wow, there is a God, because all that book is filled with is testimonies of God changing people's lives. You have a testimony. There's power in the testimony that you have. Are you sharing it? Are you giving it out to people? Are you knowing that you have power in that testimony? But sometimes we think nobody wants to hear, I'm really not a speaker. Just speak wherever God puts you. Legally, Calvary destroyed Satan's power. Legally. It was a legal thing that took place. He no longer has power and authority over us, God's children. It was broken, but we need to be the one that enforces it. And we're going to talk a lot today about enforcing who is supposed to do it. So Calvary's legal victory does need to be enforced. By who? Right. We're the ones that are to enforce that victory, and so that we can walk in victory, so our parents that aren't saved can walk in victory, so our children who aren't saved yet can walk in victory. I know that the Lord takes pleasure in us taking his authority, because he gave it to us, and it would be like us giving something to one of our kids and them just not doing anything with it. God gave us authority. We read that in Luke. Jesus said, I now give it to you. You have authority. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to destroy Satan's power. You know, I asked last night for an illustration. I was looking after the football game. I went upstairs to look for an illustration on authority. Well, I was tired, and so I went home. This morning, I had the most perfect illustration on authority. It was great. So I like my cup of coffee in the morning. So I go to turn on the coffee that I got ready last night. The coffee pot's broken. So I'm going, I have no coffee. How can I function without my coffee? So then I walk over here to go, and I notice Buddy's puked on the floor. And just about everything for me this morning. And so I said, okay, I get it. I take authority on this time in Jesus' name. I'm speaking this morning. Dave's not home. So in Jesus' name, I take authority what's going on. And I pray that it would all stop. It would all stop. And you know what? We have the ability to do that in our life. We can speak and say, no more. I'm not doing it no more. But many times, we don't see the power that we have. Did the coffee pot start working? No, but I was able to get a new coffee pot, make some coffee, and just know that all power and authority is given to us. We are just the ones that need to put it into practice. Okay. We are called to partner with the Lord. We are called to when, because we can't get our authority by ourselves. So we are called to partner. This thing is like at a tilt there. We are called to partner with the Lord and to understand, not only understand our authority, but to walk in authority. If we're not, I have a quote here from Spurgeon. If we're not seeking the Lord, the enemy is seeking us. So we're to walk in authority. We are to understand that delegated authority has been given to us. I like illustrations. Jesus taught on illustrations. So it's the way I see things. I see things and I get lessons from them. And that's just the way that Jesus taught. I wrote down a couple of ways that Jesus taught using word pictures. He used water. He used trees. He used bread. He used tares and wheat. He used salt. Say, we are the salt of the earth. So he always took something of the physical and put something spiritual to it. That's what I see. It's the way that I like to teach. He took and talked about building. Lots of construction guys here, you know. And so that's the way that I see. So today I'm going to share about refereeing. Refereeing? Refereeing. Refereeing. Football. The referee has delegated authority, doesn't he? He knows his authority. He knows the penalties. He knows all the penalties. He knows everything. And people know that he has everything. So there's this, they have these yellow flags that they throw in when they're getting ready to call a penalty. So I'm going to just lay those there because I'm going to use them. So what they do is they throw in the yellow flag to signal that a penalty, that they're calling a penalty. And that's what we're called to do. I've learned so much studying this last week about referees. There is a black hat referees. There are white hat referees. The white hat guys are the one white hat guy has big authority. So he knows he has been given authority by the, whether it be the football heads. Then I studied that there is a replay official, and he looks at instant replays. And he is stationed at the press box above the field, and he announces the final results over a wireless mic, like wireless, because he has authority, and they know that he has authority. Likewise, Jesus is standing over our playing field. He's standing over our playing field, and we can call and throw in the yellow flag. The replay official makes the final judgment. So we are supposed to not only know our authority, but we're to know penalties. And most of us don't even know the penalties. We don't know when the enemy's crossed over a line. We don't know when we should be saying enough. Let's look at some of the football penalties. Look at a few of those. And as I was looking at them, there was a couple there that I've never heard of, especially the ones at the beginning. Horse collar tackle, illegal participation. That one P word, that was unfair act, whatever that is. I've never heard of those. That's just the way that they take these penalties, and if any of these penalties, then they throw in the yellow flag because they have authority to stop everything. They can stop everything by throwing in that yellow flag. And the same way, we are to know the penalties of when the enemy's crossed a line and we say enough, you know, that we take a flag and we throw it and we say, in Jesus' name, I'm done with you. I am done. You no longer can have me. You can no longer have my family. You can no longer have anything that is the Lord's. You can't have anything in Jesus' name. I stand on the blood of Jesus. I stand on the blood of Jesus because there's been a penalty here that's crossed what I know is in the Word of God. And when we throw in that yellow flag and we say, Lord, show me how to pray. He does. He shows us how to pray. And I'm so excited to tell you that this is so simple, but it's so profound. If we could figure out this one thing, it would change your life. If we would figure out to partner with God instead of partnering with our flesh. If we would figure out the power that we have over darkness. How many Christians were in the town of Roseburg and surrounding areas that don't understand their power to come against spiritual darkness? I mean, I go into the theater, and I love to partner with the Lord wherever I'm going. And so I'm in the theater, and I just feel that the need just to pray for somebody two rows ahead of me off to the right. And I start praying. Now, I'm a good multitasker, so I'm praying and watching the movie, but how many people have never prayed over that guy that shot those 9 people and killed himself. How many people just went by? The one girl, Anastasia, also said that there were people who were walking around with their cell phones, because we're all into our own world, walking around with their cell phones, and this kind of stuff was going on until the firing started happening. And there's going to be a shaking. Right, that's what I read earlier. He said to stand up if you're Christians, and I did read that earlier. One of the things we need to know is it's darkness that was over him. It was true darkness. And we are called to throw in the penalty flag when we see darkness on somebody. I'll take a second to be able to share this with you. The amount of authority that God gives us is recognized by the enemy. There is a place in Acts where a couple of men try to take the authority of God. And the demon says, I know Paul and I know Peter, but who are you? And then he whips on him. So you don't want to go playing with, if you have not been given delegated authority. But if you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have delegated authority. You have that. You just need to be able to recognize that you do have that. When we throw in the penalty flag, we're able to hear the Lord, because if we can't just throw it in, we have to throw it in, and we need to partner with the Lord. If we partner with the Lord, then he gives us understanding. He gives us better hearing. He desires to speak to us more than we want him to speak to us. We just need to be listening and to partner with him and not our flesh and not with the enemy. Because every time we give in to a temptation, we're partnering with the enemy. We're not partnering with the Lord. So we need to self-adjust ourselves and allow the Lord to empower us. Not only do we hear better, but we're able to lead other people to the Lord, because he will show us people who need him. He will give us understanding of somebody when we're in the theater, somebody that when we're at the grocery store, and when the person is saying, how are you? And you just flippantly say, I'm fine, that you look in their eyes if the Lord tells you and say, you know, can I pray with you? Jim and Tracy are in the hospital right now. Jim's sister is passing. You know, there's so much opportunity when you walk into a hospital to minister to people. You can stop and ask people, can I pray with you? And they, when they're in the hospital, they're not going to say no, you know. So know the delegated authority. The Lord also gives us strategic plans. He tells us a strategy. He says, do this, do this. And if we do this, we've been given authority over it. So just like in football, we need to know the penalties and to call them out. The black hat referee and the white hat referee, they work together as a team. Not only do they know they need each other, the black hats know that they need each other, just like we need one another. They give a different perspective. With the replay guy, they give different perspective of what is taking place. When I first started liking football, it's because of Chip Kelly. And when I watched the men play, I was really intrigued the way that he took offensively his team. They attacked. And that's the call, that we would attack darkness, not each other, because that's what the enemy's got us doing, is attacking each other. We're not called to attack because we don't fight flesh and blood. But we're to fight principalities and powers in high places. He's given us authority to over darkness, over the scorpions, and over the, what's the other one? Snakes. Darkness. So let's look at our defense positions. There is a defensive team going back to, I understood defense, but I always got them mixed up. So defense is literally their role is to prevent the other team's offense from scoring. And it's when we look at it through spiritual eyes, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be stopping the enemy from scoring. They did a big score this last week. Big score. We need to take the offensive position and start attacking spiritually. Their other role is to tackle the ball carrier. When I looked at that, I went, oh my goodness. So we're supposed to attack the ball carrier. The ball carrier is drugs. It's carrying our family the wrong way. It's alcohol carrying our family the wrong way. We're to attack that, not them. God's given us power and authority over those things. The other thing, the role of the defensive team is to force turnovers, which is interceptions and fumbles. We see people come to church and we see the enemy intercept them. They're intercepted, they're taken away, and they're totally left into, they've gone back into darkness. And why? It's because they don't recognize their authority. They think, okay, I've tried this God thing, it hasn't worked. So there's a fumble, there's an interception. So that's the defense. And the church is supposed to be offensive and defensive in our plays against darkness and not each other. The offensive team role, and I love this, is to advance the football down the field. Ours is to advance. You guys are all looking at me like I'm crazy, but it's the way that I see things. When I'm looking at a football game, I'm not looking at a football game. The offensive team's role is to advance the football down the field. Our job is to advance the church. That's what we're called to do. How do we advance? By souls being saved. The ones you're ministering to, the ones you're supposed to be ministering to. Whatever, you know, you go, wow, I've just thought about that person two times today. Well, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Call them, visit with them, do whatever he's called you to do. I was watching the news around 2 months ago and something happened on there was this high score football. It was like 123 to like 140 some, the game. And so I started thinking, what in the world happened? How come they were able to score, both teams? Now I could see if one team, it would have been there was a mismatch. If it was like 100 and some to 50, there was a mismatch. But they were both high scores. As I started thinking of it, because somebody wasn't doing their part. The defense didn't do their part. They didn't do their part. What's your part? What's my part? We have a part. We're getting wiped out because we're not doing our part. I just know that the enemy is, he takes joy in seeing what happened this week. It grieves us. But we don't just have to be grieved. We just need to do our part, whatever that is. Ephesians 3:20. Alan, can we have Ephesians 3:20? Should be the next slide. Got it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Is that two great words? Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in the other guy? Us. If we're not getting exceedingly abundantly blessed, why is it, according to this scripture? Because it's in us. We have it. But so many times we're going, God, I'm praying for this. And he's saying, I gave you all the tools. It's yours. If it's what God wants, we can't be praying for things that are not of the Lord's. When we have the Spirit of God, He changes our desires, what we want to have. He changes what we're praying for. So we have the power within us. Let's look at Colossians 2:10. And you are what? Complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers to drive darkness. We're complete. We have been given everything. I know we're a society with lots of self-esteem issues, but we have been given everything. He did everything. Sometimes we ask for God, why aren't you moving? I'm waiting on you, God. God's waiting on us to move and to put into action what He's called us to do. So as I was thinking about our positions, because we need to know who we are, we need to know who other people are, and I was thinking about a couple of football positions. So if the fullback needs to play like a fullback, what if a fullback was not playing like a fullback? They just wouldn't be able to accomplish what needs to be done. So football has how many guys? 11. There's 11 unique people to carry that ball down the field. So we're to be working together with the same goals. We need to know who each other is, what our positions are, how the word in Ephesians 4, I think it says we're to be fitted and joined together. We have to know, if you don't know what you're connected to, we have to know what we are so that we can be propelled and do what God's called us. And what has He called us to do? Have a great, happy life? No, to bring in the harvest. That's our main thing. Too many times people come to church and maybe say, okay, Lord, I'm giving you my 2 hours. I know you're so pleased with me, you know. But are we really doing what God's called us to do? What if the quarterback, what if the players didn't know what the quarterback did or what he could do? Same with us. What if you don't know that somebody's an evangelist? Somebody has a pastor's heart. You don't know how to join together and to work with people. But we have to know who we are and who each one is. What if the wide receiver didn't know what the quarterback was or does? Boy, what a mess. So successful teams know who they are. They know who the officials are. And they know who their members are. So God created us today. You know, we always say that God left the good, enduring runners for the end. He's created you for just the time as this. To do what? To advance the kingdom of God. That's what He's called us to do, is to advance the kingdom of God. And when we're doing that, nothing will be more satisfying than that at all. And when we are walking in God's covering, we walk in authority. We walk in His favor. All children are given God's favor. But there's such a closeness, because if you're walking day by day with the Lord and you're saying, Lord, you know, I've got a tight schedule. Can you help me with a parking spot? Boy, boom, opens up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's a long line. I mean, and then He still puts you in the long line. What's with that, Lord? Well, because He wants you to talk to the person in the line. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. You will never get satisfied doing your own thing without walking with the Lord. We have to walk with the Lord. We have to partner with the Lord. We have to know that we're the ones that are called to rule and to walk in authority. So when we know who we are, when we know we can, because one of the main things that comes against the church is division. So when we unify together, we're throwing in the flag. We're saying we come against that in Jesus' name. We come against that in Jesus' name. We're going to have brotherly love in Jesus' name. I'm going to love that person even though they don't like me, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I throw it in and I break what's taking place right now in Jesus' name. I break it off in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, I say you will have no more authority over this group of people. Silence their ears. We're to have, you can pray that your ears would be silent to the enemy. Lord, don't let me hear it. Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Romans 15:13. You know, there's a different, speaking of, as you're turning to Romans 15:13, there, we all are different parts of the body. Dave's a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. It's a total different thing. I love to teach about the Word of God. I so love it. But I'm definitely not a preacher. I always say that Dave's one of the best preachers I've ever heard. He's very, very anointed. But all of us have been given gifts. And we need to not gift project. Gift projecting is whatever you have, you believe everybody else should have. And we're not called to do that. We're called to know what the gifts that God's given us. Okay, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, you know, hope's a word that you can study how many times it's in hopes in the word. It's a bunch. You know why? Because the word of God is about hope. That's what that man didn't have. Nobody ever gave him hope. Nobody ever gave me hope. I was 30 years old before somebody told me about the gospel. We need to be a people of hope. If we just went around giving people hope, we'd have a totally different world. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So have you experienced that power? Or have you prayed unknowingly, not knowing, that it's you that's supposed to be putting it into practice? God's not going to do it. So when we pray and we say, God, take care of this, he's saying, no, I've given you everything. You need to be the one that takes care of it. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. So we can't be strong on our own account at all. And in the power of his might. So he gave us delegated authority that I can be strong in not me, but in the power of his might, I'm strong. For when we are weak, he's strong if we're appropriating it. Okay, football equipment. I was thinking of a few things they have. They have the football, the most important part. The helmet, their shoulder pads, and their uniform number. Let's look at those are their, that's their equipment, and the Lord's given us equipment. He's given us weapons. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. To demolish what? Strongholds. Strongholds are something that has a hold of us or that has a hold of our family. And generationally, it can have a hold of our family. Individually, it can have a hold of us. So we've been given power over strongholds, but we just need to tear them down. And to really know, he gave us power over it. I don't know how else to say it, but he gave us power over it. He gave us power over that demonic things that we don't have to partner with. It died at Calvary. We have tools. We have equipment. We have weapons. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is extremely, the enemy hates the blood of Jesus. When you actually throw in that thing, by the blood of Jesus, You are stopping because not because of you. You are stopping everything, not because of you, but because of what he did at Calvary. When you take that thing and you say, the name of Jesus, you know, I come against you. I say you will stop in the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name above all names. We've also have been given where two and more gather. We have prayer time on Sunday mornings at 8:15. Maybe five, six of us usually are there, but at least there's more than two. Because where two or more gathering, we are stopping it. But we need to all partner together. Because kind of like a cold, I think of a cold. Somebody in the family gets a cold, and then the next thing, somebody else gets the cold. Because it spreads. If we're not all doing the same thing, if we're not all doing it, thank you. If we're not all doing the same thing, the enemy will continue to infiltrate, and we don't want him to infiltrate us at all. We need to be able to be people of integrity, people who have values. You know, not only do we have these, we need to think, are we using them? Because what's the good of having them if you're not using them? You want to stop something? I say, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to do that, but I can't do it on my own. Lord, I pray. Then you partner with the Lord. Lord, give me the will to be able to not to do that no more. Cut that thing off of the enemy. Cut that thing off. I've laid hands on people before that I could see that they were addicted to the computer. And I prayed over them, and they didn't know I didn't know that I knew that they were addicted to the computer. Pornography. I said, it's drawing you, it's calling you. I stopped that in Jesus' name. But I told them, you can't take my prayer and say that's going to stop. You've got to take that thing. You've got to take that thing. I can cover you in prayer, but you're the one that's going to say, enough. I have a God. I am a Christian, and I don't want that garbage in my mind. And you take authority over it. Addiction to whether it be drugs, alcohol, the computer, gambling, whatever it is, whatever you have, why not live an abundant life? Why live a life of addiction? Say no, I take it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man and wisdom, but by the demonstration of the Spirit. See, and that's what the world is missing. They're missing Christians who are demonstrating by the Spirit that they're really, their God is God. Because soul for soul, we look like the world out there. Where's the demonstration of the Spirit of God that lives in us? You know, so that people can go, wow, there's something different about that person. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in what? The power of God. There's power in every single one of us. There's power. But we're such whiny people, we're not seeing the power that God has in us, that we have authority to take those things captive, those thoughts captive. Another good example of delegated authority is Beulah. And I'm so glad that Dave's mom is once again joining us. And Beulah, when she was our spiritual mentor, wonderful woman of God, wonderful woman. God moved her to Bend, and she knew nobody, but she knew God moved her to Bend. And it was because we needed a friend. I so needed a friend. All my friends were partiers. And then Beulah came, and she just was an anointed woman. But she left me a bunch of her books, and one of the books tells about an illustration. The whole book is about the delegated authority that God's given us and three, it compares it to three branches of the our judicial system, our legal system. So the first, and it's a contrast. Anytime we try to contrast something human with God and the Godhead, it's short. But this is a good way to explain it. There is the of our system, of our federal government, there are three branches. The legislative branch, which is Congress, they pass the laws. And this is just like God. Remember, it's a contrast. So it's just like God. They never enforce laws, or at least they're not supposed to. Recently, though. Someday God will enforce. Someday he will have his hand back on, and he will enforce. There is the judicial branch, which is the courts, and the way that the system was built, they also were never to enforce the laws. But they recently have been abusing their powers, have they not? That's the judicial branch is like Jesus. They interpret the law. He interprets. He interprets us. He is our intercessor. So even though sometimes when we don't know how to pray and we're crying, Jesus is going, I know why you're crying. And he interprets for us. And he says, this is what's wrong. And he intercedes for us. So someday Jesus, though, will enforce the law. Someday he will. Then there's the executive branch, which is headed by the president. It's supposed to enforce the laws. That's us. We are supposed to enforce the laws. If we don't enforce everything that God did, we're not doing. That's our mandate. That's our call to enforce what God gave us, the tools he's given us, the weapons he's given us, the power and authority over darkness. But first, before we try doing warfare of darkness out there, we need to do war of darkness here. Once we have darkness ruled out here, then he gives us our sphere of influence over darkness grows. He allows that anointing to flow out into our community. But until we've got darkness handled here, his desire is that you would take authority over that darkness. So we need to remember we can't wait on God. Can't wait on God for him to fix it. Lord, I've been interceding for this for 20 years now, and it hasn't happened. Take the authority God's given you. The enemy is frightened of you. He's frightened of you. Take that authority. Stand on the word of God. Stand on what the promises God says. He doesn't say he's going to give you everything you want. He gives you everything you need. Everything you need. First John 1:12. But as many as received him, who's that Jesus, to them he gave power. You see it? He gave you power. Where's the power in the church? Where's the power in us? He's given you power to be able to overcome a world that is lost and dark, that is totally dark. He gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So a believer, I wrote down a few things, a non-believer has access denied. God will hear them, but they have access denied into the throne room. How many times a week do we go into the throne room? Because we have access 24/7. We have right of entry. That's authority. You know, where they've got the little tickets that you go in and you go into important places. We've been given the ticket of authority to right of entry to go into that throne room. But if we don't utilize the throne room, if we don't enter into the throne room, then we really miss out on the power that we have. Do you use your spiritual authority in prayer? You know, it's not supposed to be that we're to be authoritative to the people we come in contact with. Again, I'm going to say, your authority is over darkness. It's not over people. Your authority is over darkness. You have that authority. I have that authority. I pray that we learn to use it and we use it well. It will change this town. If Dave was, I'm going off here, like Dave told me that when we had the earthquake in the back room, he noticed on the fellowship room's closet that it shook part of the foundation back there and made cracks on the walls. If you walk into the closet back there and turn back onto the TV wall, you can see the cracks. In prayer this morning, as I was looking at it, I felt the Lord saying, he's shaking things. So as I was looking up, I could, on the outside, I could see where that used to be white, and up there, it now shook down a bit. And God's shaking us down a bit so that we really, yes, so we wake up. It's him who's shaking you. Don't try to get out of it. It's him who's shaking us. It's him. So we need to use what he's called us to do. Do we use the authority, and do we follow his principles? Because again, just like the men in Acts, they had no authority. They had none. The enemy just whooped them. I don't remember what chapter, but he whoops them because he says, I know who Peter and Paul is, but I don't know who you are. And just whoops them. So let's look at Matthew 8:9. It says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. So this man that Jesus was speaking about in a parable understood he was under authority. And when we understand we're under authority, then we have authority. If we don't understand we're under authority, we're not going to have authority. I know sometimes I speak in riddles, but it sure makes sense to me, you know. Just know, that's why here at East Valley Church, we don't let people become leadership until they've proven they've known how to follow. Because unless you learn how to follow, you'll never know how to lead. Ever. Ever. It's very important to learn how to follow. In order to do that, in order to walk under authority, we need to raise the standard of who we've been walking as, the church. That we, soul for soul, shouldn't be the same out there as we are in here. We need to be 100% sold out. I can't say this enough, because I so walked in darkness. It's so much. When I first got saved, I think I was walking probably 60-40. 60% with the Lord, 40% still in the world, because I had a lot of world on me. That's a lot of pressure to walk like that. It was horrible, because then I do something that I used to do, then I felt bad. It's so much easier to walk 100% with the Lord. To walk 100% with the Lord, then you don't have those things calling you and those strongholds pulling on you, ruling you. We're to rule it. It's not supposed to rule us. So get on the Lord's train of walking 100%. That's why I so appreciate Paul. Once he got it, he got it. The Apostle Paul got it. And if we would be people who got it, we would change this world. We would change our family life. We would change a lot. So we need to learn what Jesus has given us, and not only to live free, but we need to learn how to be free and to set other people free. If we can't, because the Lord set us free. Didn't he say he set us free? Okay, let me take a quick poll here of hands. How many believe that the church, people in churches all around the world, live in freedom? Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. How many people live in freedom. That's the whole point. Jesus came to set us free. So not only are we supposed to walk free, but we're to live like we're free people. Live. That means Monday through Saturday. Live free. Live free. If we live free, we're going to be free. And then the light will turn up all around us. And we'll see the harvest, because that's what God's doing. He's stirring and shaking and saying, wake up. He really is. It's him. It's not so much darkness. It's him trying to wake the sleeping giant up. I look out and I see many, many people with calls on their life. Many. Don't partner with the enemy. Partner with the Lord and you'll see your call. Because you're waiting on God for your call. He's waiting on you to get on the 100% change. Okay. The power's not from us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. What's the treasure? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you know that he's residing in you? What an awesome thing. He's residing in us. But we have this treasure in jars and clays to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's not from us. We can't do what we're called to do by ourselves. But we are such an independent people, we're used to doing things by ourselves. But we have to be connected to the Lord. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So if we don't get this, we feel pressed on every side. We feel crushed and perplexed. We feel in despair. We feel persecuted. How many feel that stuff? How many feel that stuff? It's because you're missing out on the power that God's given to us. So you just throw in visually, you throw in the flag and you say, enough, because I'm connecting to the power who wants to draw near. And when we do that, something happens, because there's a difference between hearing somebody pray out of their soul, out of their mind, will, and emotions. There's another thing to hear somebody pray out of their spirit. When we're praying out of our spirit, we're connecting with God. This is what happens. We're not praying from here to heaven. We're praying from heaven to here. Because God's telling us what to pray. We're praying from his perspective to earth. We're praying from heaven to earth. Where before, if we're praying in our intellect and what we think, we're praying from earth to heaven. There's so much power to pray from heaven to earth. And when we connect with God, that's what he gives us. Almost done. 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him. So we need to know who he really is. It's God. And if he's God, why would you want to wrestle with God? Why would you want to do your own thing? Why would you want to go somewhere and say, I'm going to do it anyway, because tomorrow, God, you're going to forgive me? Why would you want to do that? We need to know who he is. He is God, and he sees all things. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these things has given us his great and precious promises, and through them you may participate in his divine nature. Did you know that? You can participate in his divine nature, and it's spiritual. The Holy Spirit has so much more to give us. If we just would hunger and thirst after him, It's unquenchable. It really is. He's got so much to give us. So Satan knows and understands our authority that he's defeated. But he loves to trick us to think that the Pope has got authority. You know, a pastor has got authority. No, if you are a Christian, you've been given authority. So when we submit to God and resist the enemy, isn't that what it says? Submit to God, it's going to happen 100% of the time. 100%. Enemy's telling you something enticing, submit to God. And what will happen to him? He has no choice. He has no choice but to flee. He has to flee. He has no choice. He has to, under the authority that God's given you, he has to flee. No, I don't have authority because I've sinned. That's the enemy whispering and deceiving you, saying, remember what you did? No, that's under the blood. If you really have repented. If you haven't, you could get whooped. So I want us to stand so we can close. I really want us to stand. I really felt this, that the Lord said stand. I know that the Lord is wanting you to understand that you have delegated authority. Every single one of you have delegated authority. You have power to overcome all that the enemy has set before you. You're the one that's to enforce Calvary's legal victory. Every single one of you guys have been mandated. Every single one of you. You need to know your authority. You need to know the penalties when the enemies cross the line and throw it in and say enough in Jesus' name. You're to walk in freedom. The Lord desires this church, the people in it, to walk in freedom and authority. We need to be people who draw near to God. 100% of the time, draw near to God, and the enemy will flee. So I want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you have mandated us to walk and live in freedom. Lord, you see the people that are standing, their hearts, the things that they struggle with. Lord, we give them to you. We ask that you would impart to us your understanding of how to fight this battle we're in strategically, whether it be family members. Lord, give us the strategy. And then when you give us the strategy, would we be faithful to walk it out, to do what you've called us to do? Lord, that we would not be ushy-gushy Christians, that we would be people who hear from you and that we would say, yes, Lord. Lord, the gospel is so simple. That we hear from you, we partner from you, with you, and we do what you ask us to do. Lord, you've never asked us to do the great. You've asked us to do the simple. So, Lord, I pray that you would press on our hearts the power that you've given us, and may you touch us all the days of our lives. Lord, I pray that we, from this day forward, we would never forget. Seal it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus, just seal it, Lord, that you've given us power and authority over darkness. And Lord, that we just need to toss in the penalty flag and we just need to say, Lord, I run to you. And Lord, that you call the penalty and then we put it in your hands. So Lord, be with us the rest of the day. Give us just your peace and your hope.